Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Hello and welcome to our World Cup podcast. Back home with me, Paul Hawksby.
And me, Andy Jacobs. And today we'll be looking back on England's fine win over Iran, Wales' thrilling draw with the USA, and the Netherlands versus Senegal.
Yes, which I watched, so Andy didn't have to. We'll also be joined by a man with friends in the Iranian camp, ball runner, cheese chaser, Creston runner. That's a lot of running. Comedy store player, Farnborough fan, friend of the show, Andy Smart, to see what he has made of day two of the tournament. And indeed, Andy Smart is joining us from the very top of the show. Nice to see you, Andy.
Yeah, he's only had 2.5 pints, apparently.
That's good. They should be fine.
Showing a record for me for an England game, I think. Yeah.
Showing great
restraint. We appreciate it.
That we do appreciate it, yeah. Now, like me, I know Andy had your grandson's birthday party, so you managed to escape the joys of the Netherlands versus Senegal, but me and Andy will inflict it on you a little bit later.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh,
massive.
Good. No, it wasn't.
And
really,
the last time we were together at a World Cup, Andy, we were on Copacabana Beach. This is so much better, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks.
It's very similar. It's very similar, isn't it? The four.
I'm going to have a caipirinha afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That one we bought on the beach that was made with like some industrial alcohol. £1.30 for a cocktail, which they poured all the alcohol from a kind of big plastic vat that looked like it was a hazardous waste. Anyway,
I made you walk about 3 miles for a Uruguayan sandwich.
You did, yeah. Happy memories of Copacabana
but
Beach.
To this World Cup.
Yes, indeed.
Marvellous World Cup. And I've got some breaking news.
Yes.
FIFA have said they allow players to wear armbands. One hate. Yes to intolerance and say no to ginger abuse for Gianni.
It's good of them, isn't it? It's good of them.
I think I like that one, yeah.
To have made that move. Look, all of us, I think, we've made sort of notes, and a lot of this might be slightly mad stream of consciousness nonsense based on the England game. But I think overall, Andy S., it was a great performance, wasn't it? A great performance by England.
Well, it's what we want.
We should salute Gareth for shaking out. He shook it up when he picked the side. He picked Maddison. He surprised us all. Today, he went 4 at the back, was bold, and it all paid off.
Yeah, well, it's not what we were expecting. I mean, everyone before the tournament was saying how cautious he was and everything, but he really went for it this afternoon.
Yeah. And I heard someone saying that, it was only Iran. But before the game, we would have taken like a narrow win. They're in the top 20, aren't they?
Yeah.
I thought it was a decent result. I thought they played really well.
They did. I mean, I noticed at the very top, the Uruguayan assistant VAR was called Martin Soppy. and then within 2 or 3 minutes,
perfect,
he made a decision that lived up to his name by not giving that penalty to Maguire, which, of course, was obviously accentuated when he did give away a sort of lesser penalty to them late in the game.
And in the style of the way they do it at the World Cup, because we've been with the refs there, he'll be on his way home, that fella. No question.
I thought generally he had a decent game. That was VAR. It wasn't really the...
No, I meant the VAR. VAR will be on his way home. Yeah.
I suppose they do send the VARs home. They just virtually send them home.
Well, they don't even there forever, do they?
Yeah, I suppose.
That's a hotel punishment.
Yeah, that's right.
My first note was Mason Mount definitely sang God Save the Queen. I saw that easily done, but, you know, I thought fair enough.
Yes, I did notice that. But look, I'm wondering if they told them that was the last thing that one of the coaches, don't forget, it's God Save the King. I mean, it must be sort of on your mind, isn't it?
Yeah,
played a few times.
One thing I have noticed, though, that when a goal goes in, there's a competition on Twitter. Who can be the first journalist to get tweet it? It's amazing. Nizar Kinsella just beat Miguel Delaney on England's first goal. Although tonight, Moose was the winner with a fantastic, he had it ready, the flag and everything, 1-0 USA.
Tremendous. Oh, really?
He was straight in there,
so he had two ready to go. I mean, we had the big thing at the top. I mean, that huge 14-minute break in play.
Yeah,
Andy, when we had that concussion to the goalkeeper, which was pretty troubling. I mean, as Jermaine Jennis was saying in commentary, and Alan Shearer was saying at half time, you do want there should be like a. I want to see someone in a white coat. Because at the moment, all I see is people in tracksuits. And I seem to think that they belong to the country and they have skin in the game. And you need like a FIFA doctor out there to make the call. So
he wouldn't be wearing a white coat.
Well, I think he should be wearing a white coat. It's going to be a doctor. Yeah. Make him look like a doctor. No?
No, it's a good idea. I mean, I did right. What concussion protocol? I can't even say protocol.
Have you taken a blow to the head?
I got quite excited at that point because their third choice goalkeeper, Abed Zeider, is the son of the Iranian goalkeeper in the 98 World Cup. And I spent many a happy day kicking crosses for him in Croatia before the Rijeka game that they played before the World Cup. Yeah. And
people may not know, if they've not heard you talk about this on the show, Andy, you and Nick Hancock back in 1998 when Iran famously played the USA, made a documentary and spent time in the Iranian camp and got to know a lot of the players, and some of them are still on the coaching staff. So you always look out for their results, don't you?
I do, yeah. And it's hard for them with what's going on back home with the women's rights issue. It was very notable that they didn't actually sing the national anthem, and it was roundly booed by all the Iranians in the crowd. And it must have hurt the Iranians back home because they would have shown it, but every time they cut to an Iranian woman in the crowd, they definitely didn't have the hijab on. So it would have just made it even more poignant that their protest by not singing.
It was incredibly brave, wasn't it? I mean,
I don't think they'll be able to go back to Iran now, although most of them play in Europe now. But I wouldn't think they'd be, until it's sorted out, they won't be able to go home.
But they still have family there. So, you know, there has been situations where there's been sort of reprisals or reports of it. You do worry that these guys were all of them as a team, as support. I mean, you say that it wouldn't have played well, but I saw Omid Jalili sent out a video. It was reaction of Iranians in Iran after England's third goal. And it's a block of flats.
Yeah,
I saw loads that. Of cheering. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Loads of people cheering.
I know. So
it's an awful lot of people not happy with the team, and Omid making the point that, you know, by not singing the anthem, that's only gone so far, really, and it's almost too little too late, they feel, from this team.
You have to think that all that weighing on their minds must, I don't want to downplay its wonderful performance, but, you know, they were expected to do better than that. We hope that they do better in the other games. I was, on a lighter note, though, I was surprised when they subbed Johan Bach at halftime. I reacted like Lady Bracknell. Johan Bach.
Yes. I'm afraid I kept doing that. I kept doing the importance of being Ernie Hunt. The lovely tweet from Charlie Baker, the 14 minutes, the first thing that came to mind in was not the welfare of the goalkeeper. His first thought was, this is going to make it difficult if you've got to go and do the school run. Because that game was only going to work for people. I mean, we should talk about this. This is clearly a theme of the tournament. Mm. They said they weren't going to put up with time wasting, but it's not just time. It's almost like rugby league. It's like they're running a clock. I'm waiting for the hooter to sound. It's because they're playing. I mean, even this, the Wales game that's just finished, was that 9? I mean, in the end, he played 10.
Virtually every game. Yeah.
10 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
It makes a change from the 1 minute you normally get in the Champions League. Whatever happens.
When you go to games, you kind of know. So when you're watching a match, you're thinking, this should be 5 minutes. This should be 4 minutes. So as fans, you kind of get a handle on how much injury time there usually is. But I don't know where all these nines and tens.
You never think that. I mean,
you never get
the concussion one was different. But
I think Kalina will jump in. And sort of say, look, you know, come on, lads, you know, we're probably going a little bit too far.
You might want it.
Yes.
Might be in behind it.
It's also interesting, the club loyalties, that they get put to one side. You know, I mean, I don't normally want to see a Bukayo Saka score goals, but I was going mad when he scored. It's great when you, it's always lovely to know that you can just sort of park the old nonsense. I'd like to think there's Arsenal fans that they're wanting Harry Kane to do well. But I mean, are you able to park them, Andy? I mean, you've got a bigger problem with Arsenal than I have.
Yeah, I mean, it's England and it doesn't bother me at all. I don't think, I'm hoping he pulls his hamstring in the last, in the final.
Oh, Parker. Terrible. Terrible man.
No, of course yes. I don't.
We spoke to Stuart Pearce last Friday, and I was sort of saying to him, everybody's trying to predict Gareth's team, but don't we all think he's going to play three at the back in a fairly predictable lineup? And he said, oh, I think it'll be four at the back. And I thought, watching that game, we knew. He'd had probably had a chat with Declan Rice or someone in the camp, or even...
No, he spoke to Gareth. He sent Gareth a text on the way home, didn't he, from the Newcastle game.
Friday.
He's got his number on his mobile.
Yeah.
No question.
No, of course. But he did know when he was talking to us. The goalkeeper, when he was concussed, if you notice this, I mean, a bit like me, he's got quite a shovel on him already. I mean, he was a bit like me, a bit of a hooter. Yeah. And I think he'd broken it. So it's quite long, and it had a massive kink in it as well. So he won't be feeling too good tonight. Will he have the old black eyes?
You go to plastic surgeons. Can I have it like that?
Yeah.
Just adapt yours.
I did feel for him. And one for the teenagers spot now. Half-time, Iran brought on Chesney. And I immediately thought of Duncan Norvell, of course, when Chesney came. One for the teenagers. I'm looking at the producer. He said he'd never heard of Duncan.
Never heard of him. It's fine. That's right. FIFA's ticketing app has caused a lot of problems. It failed again in all the games. They've only had 12 years to get it right. And I was thinking, let's hope Infantino can't get into one of the games. That would be fantastic. But of course, that probably won't happen.
No, indeed. So, it was very enjoyable stuff. Great goals. A clinical finishing, Andy Smart, wasn't it, really? Andy Smart. Like one of an American shoving to say surnames. As we're all working remotely, I just say Andy, two people will jump in. But that was the difference with England. How many times have we watched England play? They create loads and loads of chances, don't put them away.
Wasn't it they had seven shots on target and six goals?
Blimey, that says it all.
So it was great finishing, but Harry must be kicking himself deep.
Thanks.
Yeah.
They were annoyed. They were annoyed at that goal. I was annoyed at that goal at the end. It was ludicrous. Like you said, Paul, at the beginning, it was compounded by that ridiculous decision early on.
You know, I mean, I think they were both pens. If you can see a shirt, Paul, I mean, you really have to look for it, but there is a shirt, Paul. So they are both penalties. I mean, you can't argue, it's pretty hard to say that wasn't a penalty. He does pull his shirt. He probably wouldn't have got the ball, but it was great for VAR to sort of top and tail it. And we should salute Callum Wilson, who, with a striker's instinct, of course, is to go and try and score a goal, isn't it? But to square it to Grealish was very impressive. So, a good start.
Yeah, all good.
Apparently at the Box Park at Wembley, they had Sean Williamson, Barry from EastEnders, singing Something Inside So Strong.
Really?
Because, which is a meme these days, isn't it? Of course, it's big, but
is it?
Yeah, he's quite prepared. Okay. Yeah. But we're going to do it anyway. Have you not seen that? People always send that out when he sang it at the Potter's Leisure Centre before the bowls. It's an interesting booking, isn't it?
What I loved about
I feel about that like John felt about Chase Me.
Yeah.
What I liked about the fan zones was that they kept cutting to the celebrations after each goal, and not one pint of beer was thrown in the air due to the cost of living crisis.
That's very true.
We are seeing the effects of it, aren't we? No, that is very true. So any other business on England? I think
all good. I mean, you know, I think that was a good result, wasn't it? The draw for England tonight. So they're, you know, the top of the groups in their own hands.
Yeah. And looking at that, I mean, look, you know what it's like when we play Scotland, we get caught up in the mayhem. But we'll come on to Wales. But looking at Wales and USA, you think a bit of quality in the England team. They play anything like they did against Iran. Although I thought, listening to Roy Keane saying that Iran were terrible, I think they can play better than that. I mean, they've got a decent finisher.
And Tareem.
Yeah, it just depends on what happens after the game, what feedback they get from back home, and it's a mind thing. I think they are better than that, but not if they're not of the right frame of mind.
Have you been speaking to anybody in the camp, Andy, recently? Have you kept in touch with anybody there?
Only the fixers we had out in Iran, and they were all quite confident before the game that they were going to get a draw today. So they were expecting a lot more from this team, I think. And I think they will show up against you. They'll definitely show up against USA because I was there.
That's true.
The night they beat them 2-1 in 98, I was in Tehran that night, and it was the craziest night I've ever had. It was 3 million people on the streets and no alcohol involved at 3 in the morning. Wow. So it was absolutely, they'll be up for that one, definitely.
I mean, if they do get a win or a couple of wins, I suppose it'd be a very different atmosphere. Is there a curfew in place? What's the situation now? You wouldn't get anything like that at the moment in Tehran.
There's curfews in place, but there was curfews in place when we were there in 98. Then we were told that no more than 12 people could gather in any place. We went to a restaurant with 120 people, so people just go. They're so football mad there. I mean, it is one of the most football mad countries I've ever visited.
Yeah. Well. Good. I think, well, look, we're all delighted with that. It was a fine victory. I've got to make an apology from last night. I said last night that in the opening ceremony, there was no sign of World Cup Willy. And I thought after Infantino's rant against the FA, he might have cut World Cup Willy out. But I saw pictures today of the mascots on sticks that were sort of dancing in the opening. And World Cup Willy was very much there.
Thank goodness.
So I should point this out.
Yeah, a lot of people have complained, actually. I saw it on Twitter. It was trending.
Well, there was no World Cup Willy. Yeah, indeed.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport.
we're going to move on, aren't we, now to USA against Wales?
Yeah, I think we should.
Proverbial game of two halves, if ever there was one. But I did think that Rob Bates should have told them that Wales, they were playing England in the first half, because it just didn't turn up, did they?
No. It was the tactics, though, wasn't it? I mean, I was sort of... It was very enjoyable because it played at an incredible pace. And I did say, I did sort of point out on Twitter, it felt like a really good championship game, to the extent when I thought Dave Prutton was going to be in the studio when they went back at half time. But it was absolutely crying out, wasn't it, for you saying, get Kiefer Moore on,
absolutely,
get the ball into him, get some bodies around him. It was just... Torquay's Kiefer Moore, the producer, looking daggers at me down the line. I thought Torquay playing.
Of course he was.
But he did make a massive difference. You could see us exactly what they needed. The tactic didn't work. Dan James wasn't getting anywhere. Nothing was sticking.
James and Bale were so far apart every time he went up there. It was sort of, Bale didn't look like he knew where to put it.
They looked quite good in the first half, I thought. But the Pulisic, who doesn't do a lot for Chelsea, he played right in the first half. He set up the goal. He actually, a beautiful pass and finish by Weir. A finish his dad and his dad's cousin, who played for Southampton for 10 minutes, would have appreciated.
Well, this is the thing. When they were saying he's George Weir's son, I'm thinking, well, anybody can say that, can't they? Just turn up. You pull the wool over Graham Souness's eyes with that one. But then you see him finish like that, and he's a chip off the old block. My favourite story from his dad, of course, is when Brian Moore, the late, great Brian Moore, called him in commentary. It was an AC Milan game, and he called him the big librarian. Instead of Liberian. So,
fair enough.
So you'd always take your books back if old George was there, wouldn't you? It's also taking it. Tancredi Palmieri, our old mate, Italian football expert, he said, Timothy Weir succeeding in where Chelsea Clinton failed. First son of a head of state to score at the World Cup. So,
but you know, so I saw that, but I was thinking, what does he know about Chelsea Clinton? Did she try and get off with people and couldn't? World Cups. Chelsea again. Let's give them flick. I can't believe that. It was a bit strange, but he is a bit strange in his own way.
But and, did you notice Berthaler as well, Greg Berthaler? He was dressed, he had that kind of T-shirt and the slacks on. And he was dressed like a bloke who was just off to dinner with his family at the Olive Garden in Orlando after a big day at the parks. You know, let's not go anywhere flash. Let's just go somewhere cheap and relax and get a free salad. Yeah,
early.
Kind of, looked like he was slightly on holiday.
He did. Yeah. I did think they looked quite decent. I said to you, you know, that they've got proper footballers now, not just athletes. There was a time when America were just like very physical. I used to hate them. But they actually got some decent players. I hate a lot of things. You're right.
There is a touch of the Leeds about them, though, isn't it? I mean, understand there was a couple of Leeds players in there, but it is pretty harem scarem. Played it very exciting to watch. Played it up, and Wales just couldn't live with them first half, could they? But
they might have run themselves into the ground with that first half, because they were really pressing all over the pitch, and they didn't seem to do that. I thought for a while in the second half they were just sitting back trying to protect the 1-0.
Yeah, they had 1-0 syndrome. That was the problem. Yeah. Once you do that and you lose momentum, it's very hard to get.
But then they couldn't get back into the pressing again once Wales equalised.
That's true. Yeah. Half time. I mean, Mark Pugash is a very nice man and everything, but I always think he's a bit of a rugby man. Really, I don't find him. He doesn't.
You're waiting for him to say, "Well, really, what a 45 minutes of footer." You expect him to say
something
that?
Like that? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but what can you do?
And Wales are struggling at the breakdown. Yeah, but of course, he does loads of football. That's not the case. It's pretty clear who won the national anthems. Did you notice the American boys? They were sort of mumbling it.
Yeah.
Apart from Anthony Robinson, all the rest of them were like when you go to church and you don't want to sing, you just sort of slightly mime it. They really didn't put their back.
That's not like Americans, is it? Americans normally
they
normally
put their
hand on
you. Yeah, the whole of their school career, they have to sing it every morning.
Yeah, I mean they had their hands on there. They did that bit, but it's a lot of fancy dress. Wasn't I thought they were at the darts at one point, especially the Americans. They looked like
that guy in the eagle costume with Wonder Woman stood next to him.
That's right. Some bloke dressed as Custer banging the drum. It was a big fancy dress thing that they got going there. But I did at one point. I did say to the missus, "Bring Kiefer Moore on." She said, "Kiefer Moore on." I said, "No, that's Kiefer. Bring him on. Bring Kiefer Moore on."
Who's on first? Is one of those.
It was a bit of one of those.
For me, the most entertaining thing was John Hartson's two different moods. The first half was so depressed. Yeah. He was really down and accepting that Wales are going to do nothing in this World Cup whatsoever. Yeah. And by the end, he was completely carried away. They're basically winning it, aren't they?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
People get really sniffy about that. They say, well, commentators and co-commentators should be neutral. I don't want to hear we and they. But I do. I mean, what do you expect? If you book John Hartson, you couldn't get anybody more Welsh.
It's incredibly Welsh.
There was one bit where one of the Wales defenders gave away a free kick and he just went, "Ow!"
That sort of thing. But when Bale scored, it was a good penalty and everything, but it was just wasn't a 25-yarder into the postage stamp. What he's only done for his country, it's a penalty. Well done, fantastic. Yeah. But I'm pleased for him. And it's going to be hard for Wales, though. You saw they got a few knocks there, and the teams with deeper, stronger squads are going to be less affected by this quick turnaround, really. Three games in 8 days.
That's true. That was a hell of a first game. Both teams really put a lot into that. I mean, even the USA, they had a lot of them going down and quite a lot of injuries. So that was a mad... That was so unlike the first game of a World Cup that you ever see. I mean,
that's
we saw one earlier on, which we'll come on to. But that was a proper up-and-at-em game, wasn't it?
It was.
It was. The referee, he was Qatari, wasn't he? Qatari. I thought he did all right, actually. Except when he restarted, there was a drop ball and he just waited. I don't know if he was waiting for the camera to catch his good side, but he definitely waited a long time. What a poser. Yeah. But actually, not bad.
Well, I don't know, because that Bale tackle.
It
was a brilliant tackle. And then there was the one in the second half where the ball went out for a corner. Oh, yeah. And he gave a throw-in, and they were going...
No, maybe he wasn't that good, really. I tried to be nice to him, because we haven't said anything nice about Qatar.
I thought about the Bale tackle, Andy, in a competition, it's all very well that you get a booking that you can't go back and look at and see it's a clean tackle. You can do it if it's a penalty, but there's not time to keep going back. But you should have an appeal system when you can only get two bookings. It's not like getting five bookings in the league.
No, exactly. If he gets a booking in the next game,
he'll miss the England match, which is quite possible. And all he did was tackle very cleanly. So there must be. You should have an appeal system in a tournament to be able to say, "Ref, we want you to look at that again." It wouldn't hold up the game that much. No. You could only have two a game, but he's a key player.
Mm. And we'll do it retrospectively after the game. Just take the yellow card away.
True. That's a better
They're not going to do that. Then. They don't want to re-referee the
Gianni Infantino.
You should be Kalina. I've got the hair.
They should be able to go back and say that the ref got that one wrong. And let's use that word expunged.
He did have a very strange idea of what a head injury was. He stopped the game for someone's ankle got caught. A bit mad,
Borky. In any other context, do you get to use the word expunged? Have you ever used it? I've never used it.
Records can be expunged.
Have you?
Sporting
have you
records.
Expunged a record? I mean, I can't. I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Only maybe. When it was dirty.
John Hartson, finally, he did call the assistant Lino and the linesman, which is very unusual these days because they are the assistant, aren't they? Really?
Yeah. But I say,
he was the linesman as well. Though.
Yeah, he was kind of running. By the end of it, he was just so excited, John, because he said, Brennan Johnson has got a young youth about him. He's just gone. He was just absolutely gone.
That's good. Some sort of yacht scheme, is it?
Yeah. on a serious note, I saw... Grant Vall, American football journalist.
Around your way, isn't
he? No, I saw him at the World Cup. Burke. He's watching the USA game. He tried to get into the game with a kind of it was a rainbow T-shirt. It was a football T-shirt, but had a bit of a rainbow design on it. Hmm. And he was told that he couldn't go into the stadium wearing it. He'd have to take it off. And I don't know if you've seen a former Wales player, woman Wales player, what's her name? Laura McAllister.
She tried to get in with the hat on. Yeah.
Yeah. She tried to get in a sort of rainbow bucket hat and was told that she couldn't go into the stadium. Now, they've agreed that can be the case, apparently. I was looking it up and they said they didn't. So it seems to me that they've decided, a bit like they did with beer and some of the other things, They said, oh, yeah, that'll be fine. Calm, it'll be fine. You know, everyone's welcome. But when you actually get there, they're starting a Welsh on it. In this case, literally.
But they actually, they're so strict that Bungle and Zippy have been banned as well.
Really? I don't know if, what if his name, Jeffrey might turn up. Imagine that.
He won't get in.
George, somebody turns up dressed as George, probably a USA. Oh, no.
Come on, tell me about this other game, this great game that I missed.
Okay, well, we'll tell you about Senegal versus the Netherlands. I mean, there's not a lot to say.
It's like jazz.
The best thing about it was that it was John Champion and Ali McCoist on commentary, and that's the only thing
that made
it worth listening
He's great co-coms.
It's interesting, isn't it, that the there's not really any pairings in commentaries now. I mean, on any of the channels, it's all kind of mix and match. You'll get different people. It used to be a thing, you know, Motti and Trevor Brooking. They did that for years and years. But really, this is they've kind of hit upon these two, and they are brilliant together. And you give them license to sort of mess around because they're very, very good, and they take the mickey out of each other. And he was giving him stick about Gakpo, Cody Gakpo. And he was saying, what do you think of him? And Ali was saying, no, not for me. I don't get it. And then he scored that great goal. He said, oh, this is the bloke. Yeah, great goal from the bloke who said wasn't any good. Yeah. So it was.
I think ITV got a good chance of winning this because Laura Woods went down really well on social media, her presentation. And I'm not mad about Bugatchers, he's rugby mad. But, you know, I think generally they've got good experts, good things. And the BBC are so hand-wringing about the whole thing.
I didn't notice that. I thought they'd gone with the football today. I didn't know. Yeah, I think they did.
I still feel there's quite a bit of that going on, you know.
I just kind of
got panned, didn't they, in the paper for the thing I went mad about.
Yeah, they got on. I thought everybody just got on with the football today, as Gary was saying yesterday. I think they, you know, I didn't sense that. And I'm sure that's the case. Vincent Janssen, I looked up the club he's playing at now, the former Tottenham player, was an absolute disaster. He was leading the line, wasn't he? And he was quite, he was terrible. I mean, really.
It was. His first touch was like a breeze block.
It's not a massive surprise, is it? Really? Vincent Janssen was hopeless. It's a revelation.
He's playing for Antwerp at the moment, who got knocked out the qualifying rounds of the conference plate. He was at Monterrey playing in Mexico. And God bless you, love a try. I mean, he tried so hard when he was at Tottenham, but he wasn't particularly great. I didn't realise one of his names is Anna. I don't know. Really? A-double-N-A. Yeah, I looked him up. Nice. Anna. I don't make of that what you will. I mean, the Dutch had a couple of good chances in the first half, Andy.
They should have been 2-0 up after 20 minutes, and they
were. Frankie Dion just faffed about when he just could have stuck it in the net.
Oh, yeah. How many times did he want to touch that ball in the penalty area before he shot?
And Senegal had like one half chance in the first half.
Well,
and
then the rest, quite good, really.
The rest of it was cack.
It was just Cody. It was the edge of one penalty box, and the edge of the next penalty box, and then back to that one, and then back to that one. And one ever actually got in the penalty area.
But
and
this you thought, is, you know, you've seen this in modern football all the time, this thing where people don't turn. Everything's played the way you're facing it. It drives you mad because sometimes when someone does turn, it happens. You know, it can happen.
Felt for Senegal a bit because they lost Kouate. They lost a couple of players to injury and they're massively missing Mane.
You know, psychological. Mendy, I don't know what's happened to Mendy. I mean,
Well, it still looked like it was heading for 0-0, didn't it? And probably the Dutch had maybe, not in the second half, but maybe done enough in the first half to nick it 1-0. It was a good header. It was a great ball in from De Jong.
I mean, if he hadn't come free, he wouldn't have stopped it because it was a great header.
That's it was a great header. Say, but the second one.
Second one parried it right in the path.
That was a bit of a disaster. The funny thing was that, I mean, did you see that? John Champion was saying they gave out the attendance as 41,721, which is 1,700 people more than the stadium holds. And that was despite the fact it was three quarters full. I mean, it was.
The England game was still 15,000 down on the actual.
Wow! So if you're going to, they've had 12 years to design and build these stadiums. They must have seen stadiums around the world that really work, where the pitch and the fans are close. They've built them miles away from the... I don't get that. They're a really strange design, I thought, that stadium was. And those air conditioning units, I think they should fire... Well, they could have a 21-gun salute. I think they're quite nice. They look like cannons. Did you notice them by the pitch?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
No, I don't know if they're on. Because actually, you'd imagine it'd be quite windy. It might affect the play.
Quite possibly. I was expecting, I think we're going to get quite a few games like that, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think today, look, England, we got skin in the game. So, but it was exciting. There was 8 goals in it. And the Wales USA game is just really exciting end to end.
Let me have a look at what's tomorrow. I can hardly
wait. Do you want me to tell you?
Because I need another game of football.
Okay. Yeah. Are you getting fatigue already after game 2?
No.
That's not that time.
No,
10 o'clock in, what better way over breakfast? 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no, see, I watched it. Well, Argentina, I'm busy tomorrow, yeah.
Argentina, Saudi Arabia.
I do want to see a bit of that, yeah. That's I'll try first, and catch, yeah.
That's the first game. Even I may not go live with Denmark, Tunisia. I say that now. I might possibly. That's
Denmark. You'll get sucked into that one.
Yeah, you probably will. Where's Christian Eriksen? I want to see him playing and back playing. So Højbjerg. So I've got a bit of skin in that game. Then it's Mexico, Poland at 4 o'clock. So I think the Chase may get quite a decent audience.
We might have Jeff Peters on there telling us what it was like being in Mexico. You know?
Jeff Peters is going to watch it while he's in Mexico. I look at the producer. Is Jeff going to join us? Yes, he is. Thumbs up there.
That's good.
And then France, Australia is the final game tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be better if it was rugby, really, that one.
It would be. We'll get Pougas back in then. Definitely. Get Flats in. Get Dave Flatman in on the touchline. That'll be good. I don't know if there's any other business. I've seen some news out and about today. Did you see the wives and partners of the players arriving at the airport?
I mean, Sacha Atwood.
Wow, they're expecting 5 very big cases. All of the partners had like 5 big cases. So
they obviously think we're going beyond the
quality. Psychologically, yeah. What does that say to your other half? It says, you know, I've packed for the duration. I'm here for the final.
But they do have dry cleaners in Qatar.
Do they? The dry cleaner from Qatar, isn't it? Joni Mitchell song. Yeah.
Why would you have to take so many clothes?
We would have sent the moose out to see if he could find a dry cleaner.
Oh, great, yeah.
And the other thing, the one thing they've got in Qatar is shops for wags, you know, that sell that sort of clothes that they like. So why you need to take 5 huge suitcases?
Well, they were never going to take
maybe they were empty.
Ah, that's a good point, Andy.
They were never going to take a couple of t-shirts and some cut down shorts and some flip flops in a backpack, were they?
But I bet the American coach didn't have 5 suitcases.
It looked like they were taking Genesis on the road. It was like Edwin Shirley trucking. They said bags and bags of stuff. Anything else? Apparently the traffic is absolutely terrible.
Oh, it's terrible.
We've done gigs out there over the last sort of 10 years, and the traffic's always been absolutely terrible, especially sort of between 4 and 6 every day. Everything just gets gridlocked. And that was before 1 million people moved in there.
So it's strange, isn't it? I mean, they've got plenty of sand, they've got plenty of area. Why don't they?
I've got plenty of sand.
You can't drive on sand.
No, it's quite hard, Daniel.
But they could have built I saw that it was 6 lanes. Well, why not make it 10 lanes? What difference does it make? You're starting from scratch.
Andy Jacobs, town planner.
When we first went out 10 years ago, it was all just 2-lane highways everywhere.
Oh, well, they've done well then.
Yeah, they've really got to get it up to 6 because it's such a there's only about 5 or 6 major roads around a tiny little city, really. It's not a big city.
Yeah.
As soon as everyone leaves work, it just gets snarled up. You just sit there for ages sitting in the car.
In other news, have you seen the picture of Leonardo Messi? Lionel Messi, Italian. And Cristiano Ronaldo have done an ad for Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And they're both sitting, they're playing chess. And I was thinking, because you're either Messi or Ronaldo, aren't you, as a football fan? I'm thinking, it'd definitely be Ronaldo with the anal beads. He'd be the one cheating. He'd be the one. He'd have Piers Morgan in another room saying knight to bishop 3, wouldn't he?
I saw a chess guy on Twitter saying, well, where are the pieces they've taken off the board and how did they get to that position? It's impossible.
Taking it far too literally.
Far too serious. But they should worry about stuff like that because people are going to look at it and say, what's the state of the game? Who was going to win and all that, you know?
Yeah.
So I've seen here that a robot has predicted that England's chances of winning the World Cup are just 7%. A Wales 1%, predicting an all South American final, Brazil beating Argentina. That comes from Professor Achim Zillis from the University of Innsbruck. Well, he's who hasn't got a camel or an iguana, but has got a computer.
He's being quite zealous because I think Argentina, Brazil could play each other in the semi final if it goes to form. So it's going to be a hell of a job to make that the final.
One of them will have to fail in the group stages and come second.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if that happens. And by the way, if you were ever down on the old Pembrokeshire coast in St David's and you...
I've been there.
And if you ever see a bloke get coming out of a caravan one morning with a cup of tea who looks like Rob Page, the Wales coach, it is. they've always had a family caravan down there and he loves it. And they go sort of surfing and... whatever, and so yeah, they've kept the caravan. So if you're ever down there, it looks like Rob Page. It is Rob Page.
It's good.
Yeah,
John, you're going to be in Wales when?
Saturday for Farnborough versus Wrexham, of course.
Oh wow, oh,
Farnborough on a 12-game unbeaten run.
Let's bring it back to domestic football, Andy. I was saying to Andy last night that you look at the potential knock-on effect, and this will interest our producer as well. He probably knows it already. The knock-on effect of no Championship or Premier League football. 16,511 at Notts County versus Yeovil at Meadow Lane the other day. A record National League crowd. Which is, you know, it's amazing, incredible. Isn't it? People will go and take in a game.
People go and watch some non-league games because they're good standard now.
Another knock-on of no Premier League football is that Chelsea have stopped losing.
Every
my player. Mental health slightly better.
Well, we'll be doing this all again tomorrow. Jeff Peters will be joining us live from Mexico, so we'll get a feel of what it was like to be on the ground in Mexico. Quite possible.
You know, he was supporting, was it Poland?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And Andy, what have you got coming up with the Comedy Store Players? You're performing this week?
Yeah, every Sunday at the Comedy Store. And I might actually be doing the S4C commentary on the Farnborough Wrexham game on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
You speak Welsh?
No, they have a red button English commentary, and hopefully I'll be doing that.
Brilliant. So people can...
Between the two games in the afternoon on Saturday, you can catch the first half of Farnborough versus Wrexham on S4C.
Brilliant. Well, that is us, I'd say.
That's it, yeah.
Another day. Thank you, Andy Smart. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Enjoy. Hopefully we'll catch up with you later in the tournament. Almost certainly will. So we would love you to get in touch. Anything you want to comment on that we've talked about already over the last couple of days, anything you notice that we can bring up, just do it via at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ on Twitter. That's probably the easiest way to do it right now. So
we'll come around and knock on my window.
Knock on Andy's window and just stick your head through the window. So that's us. We'll do it all again tomorrow. We'll reflect on four games tomorrow. Thanks again to Andy Smart. And thank you.
Four games.
So many games. Oh, anyway, we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Talk Sport. Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from Talk Sport.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.